Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning into the podcast. This is the Grace for This City podcast. I'm Justin. And hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you scriptural motivation and strategy so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. And by the way, that's what this season is all about. We are celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior. He came and he dwelt among us. And so we've got a great episode for you today. Hey, I'm joined in the studio by some very amazing people, Pastor Christina and Pastor Bob. Hey, guys, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
You know, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, next year. Of course, we're almost done with this year, about to wrap up 2020. 2021 is just going to be, let's just tear into it like the Christmas presents we're about to tear into in a few days. But 2021 is going to be a good year, and I'm excited to see what the Lord does through y'all and content on the podcast and other things. Ministry, come on, somebody.
Yes.
I'm ready to hit 2021 hard.
It's all about him.
Yeah. It is
all about him throughout the year.
That's what we do. That's why, and that's who we do it for. And I've always said this, you know, in particular, I've been saying, I think recently on the podcast that, you know, as we encourage people to share the content, you know, share the podcast, you know, get it to somebody. It's not about getting our name out there. And rest assured, I tell you, I don't want my name out there. But it's about getting the word out. We're not trying to get our name out, trying to get the word out.
That's right.
And even when it comes to the church, it's not about trying to get the church's name out there. We are called to represent the King. And so it's just about getting his word out there, about getting his will out there. So, you know, if you want to be praying for us into 2021, connect with us on that point right there. Mm-hmm. We just want to get Jesus, make him known, get his word out there, express his will, you know, bind and loose in accordance with his kingdom plan. It's not about us. Hallelujah. Now we gladly serve. And we've had it fairly easy. I mean, these last few years have been a little bit difficult. There's been some challenges, where, you know, directly, personally, physically, you know, we've been, resisted. That's the parts that I don't like. It's where, you know, the reality of when we represent Jesus and people don't like that, and then they resist that. They end up sometimes encountering the humanity portion of it, right? So we're involved in that. That's the part that I don't like about this.
Right.
Because sometimes they remember, well, your name was Justin, or your name was Bob, or your name was Christina. No, I'm just representing Jesus. Yeah. Don't be mad at me. But 2021 is going to be a good year. It's going to be a great year. And I'm just excited about what Jesus has planned. But before that, as we close out this year, what a great way to close out a year by celebrating Jesus.
That's right.
Yes.
And, you know, supernatural. I mean, our whole faith, our faith and our relationship with Jesus, you know, has supernatural beginnings. I mean, he's always been. But I mean, he began to reveal himself amazingly throughout the Old Testament. And then we have this amazing story, this amazing supernatural story of the virgin birth. And we all basically know the basics of the story. Mm-hmm. Here was Mary, this young girl, by the way, most likely a teenager.
Right.
And, you know, here she's already betrothed. She's already committed to another man, and then, wow, winds up pregnant by the Holy Ghost. That's supernatural. I mean, that's a whole revelation in and of itself of how the Word becomes flesh. And principally, the same thing happens to us. We become pregnant with the Word.
That's right.
And how do we give birth to things? Well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow us and help us. He will cause the seed of that Word to come alive and take on life, and then take on flesh. And eventually what you're believing for will manifest. The Bible says, if you don't grow weary, you don't doubt, you don't waver, but you endure until due season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, Mary is a picture of a revelation. Now, I'm not saying that people are still getting pregnant naturally, supernaturally, without knowing a man. You know, that is a unique situation there. But it's a revelation of how the things of how things in the spirit work. And in a similar way, we are receiving the seed of the word, becoming pregnant with his purposes, and then Holy Spirit is taking hold with us, laboring with us until that which we're carrying gives birth, or we give birth and it becomes manifest. And you know, my wife, you know, I think we mentioned this here in the last several weeks. We've been talking about the endurance of belief. And my wife had to endure 9 months of hopeful expectation,
right?
Right, and then our children were born, and it wasn't an easy process, you know. So you know, what an amazing, miraculous happening that is central to our faith. It's central to the revealing of the story of Christ redeeming humanity, and absolutely amazing. And then you know, you add to that the little drummer boy. I mean, isn't that just amazing, you know, how he came up and played his drums for Mary in Bethlehem there.
Okay. I need that scripture and verse there, please.
I know, I was like, wait a minute, is that the scripture?
I was wondering what y'all were gonna do, you know. I mean, right, the song exists because it actually happened, right?
No. I'm sure Mary sat there going, would you knock it off? I just got him to sleep.
Right, oh. Right. You know, I've thought about this. We've talked about this quite a bit. How are we going to be able to go back and revisit those times? Is it like via, you know, home movies up in heaven? I mean, you know, somebody with a camcorder, or you ever thought about this?
That would
like
be
really how are you going to, I mean, there's going to be a way. I mean, I don't know how, but
I think there'll be a knowing. We will know. It'll be a memory for us.
Oh, wow. Oh.
You know, I believe that once we're there, it'll all be a memory.
Wow. Have this mind. Okay. Wow. That's cool, Bob. Thank you. All right. Because, you know, there's like things that I want to have that like David and Goliath moment, Samson knocking the pillars over.
Yeah. I'm sure hoping there's not books of pictures up there that we have to look at, because my wife and I were going through albums the other day trying to find a certain photo, and when we got done I thought, do you realize how many pictures we have taken over the past 43 years?
Wow. Oh man, I know a lot.
You know, and I told her, I says, there's no way I'm scanning these into the computer.
Hey, Bob, do you guys, what's that called? The little white things, and you put them in a, what's that machine called?
You know what I'm talking about?
It's like a projector.
A slide.
Yeah. Do you guys have like
archive
photos?
No. Okay. I let my sister keep all that stuff so she could keep it organized.
Okay. You know, it's been years since I've seen one, but my dad had one at one time, and I remember us loading the slides and then shooting it on something on the wall or something and looking at these photos.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Yeah. That's nostalgia there.
Well, we've come a long way.
We have.
Yeah.
We have. Hey, press control on your laptop there.
Okay.
So, anyways, just what an amazing season. And however you celebrate, you know, Jesus is the center. Jesus is the reason. And it's Christ Mass, more Christ. Amen. And, you know, something we do coming into this season is to just begin to remind our family, our children, that, you know, it's not all about getting. I mean, and praise God, hallelujah, praise God that we receive gifts, and it's absolutely amazing. And some of the thought that goes into some of these gifts and the sacrifices that people make is truly amazing. I absolutely love it. And what an expression of Christ, because he gave, the expression of our Father, he gave. And we're so thankful that he gave, and so thankful that we have the opportunity to give. And so we, you know, we express to our children and remind myself, hey, this isn't all about getting. I mean, this is not about what you're going to get. But it is about Christ. And truly, that was the ultimate gift. I mean, if we're going to meditate and reflect on what we've received, meditate and reflect that we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then from there, you know, we love to bless others. And just as a side note here, that's one thing that we're training our children in now, mm-hmm. is before we even allow them to begin to talk about what they want or whatever, mm-hmm. we think of somebody's, usually it's several. The first thing that we want them to think about is, hey, what can we do for someone else? I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, we're hopeful that, you know, we're going to get what we wanted, you know, or check off a list or whatever, however you do it, that's fine. But we want to make sure that our boys are thinking about mm-hmm. somebody else first and not just be consumed
yeah.
with what you want.
Right.
And that's been fun. It really has been mm-hmm. fun to lead them in that and to guide them in that.
You know, in where I was raised up in my household and stuff, my dad, we knew Christmas was coming, but we were a church-based family, mm-hmm. a faith-based family, where we went to church all the time. But there was a line of distinction when it came to Christmas. Mm. And you had access to the Christmas tree and all that stuff throughout the week before and whatnot, but there was never anything underneath it.
Okay.
And then on Christmas morning, or even the night before, the living room was closed off.
Wow.
We did, and the reason they did that is they said, we want you to keep it Christ-centered from this point on.
Wow.
We did not, we thought about those presents under the tree, what was going to be mm-hmm. there for mm-hmm. us. And, but even on Christmas morning when we got up, that living room was off limits. The Christmas mm. lights outside and inside were all turned off. And we got
wow.
ready.
Interesting.
And we went to church and we went to our Christmas service. And then when we come home, my dad went in, turned on all the lights and everything. We got to go in the front door and see what was there.
Wow.
But he wanted Christ-centered on our holiday.
That's neat, Bob. Yes. Thank you for sharing that story. Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Christina, what about you? What's just something that just stands out? You know, something that y'all did or...
I think a lot of times for our family, it more centered around like eating and laughing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It was always, you know, we always put on a big meal.
Yeah.
And sometimes we'd wear our pajamas, you know, and just sit around and laugh. That had more of an impact on me than the gifts. Gifts are cool.
Sure.
But,
oh, yeah.
But yeah. Laughing, that's the memories I have growing
yeah.
up.
Yeah, right.
Hey, and Christina, if you don't have a friendly cat, then God bless you.
Alrighty then.
All right, yeah. If y'all didn't listen to the opening song, yeah. then you won't know what
I
that is.
I have two, thankfully.
Oh, do you really? Yeah. Okay. Well, if you don't have a turkey leg for Christmas. Oh, well, praise God. You know, hey, let us know some of the significant things that meant a lot to you that helped, you know, kind of keep focus on the most important things in your Christmas. You can send us an email, hello@graycitychurch.tv. Call us. Call us with your Christmas story, 870-741-9099. And love to hear what meaningful things that were a part of your either your childhood or your upbringing or something that you're doing now to help keep the focus on the main things. You know, family is important too. I mean, you know, we don't have a family concept without the revelation of Heavenly Father.
Yes.
You know, I love this in Romans where really one of the first revelations of the Father after we're born again is that he's Abba, that he is Father. In fact, the Holy Spirit is actually the one that gives us the revelation that Jehovah is Father. And so, you know, Christ is obviously, he is the centerpiece, he's the focus. But then, you know, out of that, out of the Word, we get all these things from the Word, but Christ is kind of that, you know, he's the Word made flesh. But out of that then comes like these very strong and amazing and sentimental family realities that come out of that. And, you know, after Christ being the ultimate reason for the season, you know, it's a time for families. And whether or not you're a small family, you're a large family, doesn't matter. you have traditions and things that mean a lot to you. And I just enjoy hearing some of the different things that people do. Everybody's different and they go about it a different way. Mm-hmm. But it's just neat to hear what makes this time of year so special. And outside of just the stuff, you know, the stuff gets old, it breaks. It's, you know, it's the, sometimes it's just filler, you know? But you know, it's beyond the stuff, it's the family, it's Christ, you know, it's his love poured out in our hearts. And then there we get to share that with family. That's what really makes this time of year just absolutely amazing. And then when you add snow to it, you know, I mean, it's just even better. Hallelujah. It's been a while since we've had a snow on Christmas.
Yeah, it's usually a rarity around here, if at all.
Yeah, you know? That's really the snow that I really like.
We are a southern state.
We are, yeah. We got snow a couple weeks ago. It was awesome.
And it stayed on the ground for several days.
It did. Yeah. It did. I loved it. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Absolutely love that first chapter in John. I mean, the whole book of John's awesome, but man, such a rich revelation in that first chapter. But here's something that's interesting as I was just kind of looking over some notes for our podcast, but the word dwelt is the word tabernacled. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Obviously, we know the story. The focus here is Emmanuel, right? God with us. Matthew 1:23, and they said, "They shall call his name Emmanuel." Bob, was that the passage that you have?
No, it's not.
Oh, all right.
And moving on.
All right, then. Okay. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, why? Because it was going to be God with us. I mean, think about this. God in his foreknowledge, God in his planning, oh, what a planner, oh, what a plan. He got himself into humanity by taking on flesh. Absolutely amazing. Several reasons for that. But here he dwelt, or he tabernacled. And just like the significance of the tabernacle in the wilderness, God pitched his tent among us and manifested his glory among us. I mean, in a way, he was tabernacling in the Old Testament, but there he was in, he was dwelling among them by his spirit, but in a building. And you know what? He didn't want to end up there. He didn't want to wind up in just something that was made by man's hands, as amazing as that was. And finally, he was able to get it implemented there, his plan, to where he would dwell inside man. Of course, Christ being the forerunner of that. And now, through what Christ has done, we're born again. We can accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we know that the scripture says that the Spirit will come in and we're totally recreated. I mean, we are a creature that has never existed before. New creation, all things are new. And that was exactly the plan. He wanted to come, he wanted to tabernacle in us. And now he's able to do that. Praise God. And we just absolutely love that. I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that Jesus came. Without him, without that perfect lamb that was slain, without Jesus Christ, our substitute, you and I would not be able to experience what we're experiencing now, and would not have the hope of what is coming even beyond our time here.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, and we've all heard it. It's played out on Peanuts cartoons and stuff like that, Charlie Brown. But I'd like to read a little bit from Luke chapter
yes.
2. And we'll start in chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "And now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." And I concentrate and think on, meditate on these scriptures. And I think, well, you know, those shepherds, that's us. It is the people. It is not just, you know, Mary or Joseph or Herod or some of the big names. It is us. And it says, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you. There was something being brought to each and every individual, to every person, something special. What was it? It was Christ. Let's see. I bring to you good tidings of great joy that will be to all people.
Thank you.
For there is born to you. Now, that baby was born to Mary, but that baby was born to us. This day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, or the Anointed One, the Messiah that's sent for us. This is something that the people have been believing God for redemption. And redemption came to them. Redemption came to us. That's who that you is in there. That's us.
Amen.
Christina, what do you got? You're flipping that through there.
I know. You mentioned several of the scriptures, so I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That one just really stuck out to me.
Yeah.
Because that gift means so many things. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Salvation, healing, deliverance.
I love it.
And a bunch of other things. Sorry. Unscripted. I go blank sometimes.
No, hey, so do I. But, you know, this time of year is met with a lot of, you know, excitement. But, you know, there are a few, you know, and if your name is Nancy, I don't mean this personally, but, you know, there's a lot of negative Nancys as well around this time of year. A lot of the conflation and confusion is because throughout history, there's always been, and there always will be. Listen, whatever God does, there's always going to be an attempt to overshadow that with some sort of demonic, pagan, something or other trying to take the limelight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Lucifer from the beginning was after. You know, when he said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I mean, he's always been after stealing the show from the Heavenly Father. And so let me throw this in there. Because there's a lot of good people. I'm thinking of several right now. A lot of good people love Jesus. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They totally abdicate this time of year. But kind of funny though, because then I'd want to ask him, well, you know, if you're not going to celebrate, you know, Jesus this time of year, then when are you celebrating it? And they end up not ever.
Yeah.
And but here's something to think about. Historically speaking, birthdays were not a big deal in Jewish culture. Okay, and that's true. That's just a historical fact. But the reason you were born weighs heavier than just simply the fact that you were born. The purpose behind your birth, excuse me, was and is the focus and priority. In the Bible, only 3 birthdays are mentioned as being celebrated. Pharaoh, Job's children, and Herod Antipas. Again, what the big deal was, more than the day of your birth, was the significance of purpose of your birth. This is why names were such a huge thing in the Bible. I mean, if you ever go back and you look up some of the names, what some of those names mean, I mean, there was some real thought put into the names of these children. And they weren't just pulling from like, you know, the top 25 trendy names of 2020, you know what I mean? I mean, a lot of people are choosing names now because they're trendy. And like my name, okay? My name is Justin. I happen to be born in 81. Well, I found out later that Justin was one of the most popular boys' names in 1981.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So if you were you know, if you were a boy in 1981, born in the United States, there's a good chance your name is Justin. So, you know, that's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you really look at Jewish culture and their history, names were such a significant thing. And in fact, many times they would have the name before the birth of their child. We saw that in Jesus' case. You shall name him this. Mm-hmm. You shall name him this. Why? Because there was so much packed into that name that spoke about the why, that spoke about the purpose of this child's birth. And that really overshadowed simply just the day of their birth. Now I'm not saying that it wasn't memorable, but if you look at Jewish culture, the reason why a child was born weighed heavier than just the fact that it was born. And I think that we'll see a shift in that. I decree that we'll see a shift in that. That we'll see generations. Should the Lord tarry, we'll see a generation or generations of children that the revelation of why they're coming into the earth is going to weigh heavier than just the fact, oh, there's a child on the earth now, and let's name him whatever, name her whatever. You know, as long as it sounds good, you know what I mean? Yeah. As long as it looks good with their clothes that we picked out. Sounds good with the look of their clothes.
Or goes good with the last name.
Right. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people name stuff. And
or to be named after your father and your grandfather and your great-grandfather.
Sure. And that's great. But we'll see a day where the revelation that nobody's here on purpose, right? Excuse me, nobody's here on accident. We're all here on purpose. I totally said that backwards. We're all here on purpose, with a purpose. There are no spirits that accidentally slip into the earth. I mean, that is, the Jehovah is in charge of that. Hallelujah. Absolutely amazing. And but then he entrusts that spirit into our lives and to guide them and to train them in the way that they should go. And so we're having to rely on revelation. But so a lot of people get messed up over December 25th. And so I just wanted to touch on this. But the there's an ancient celebration that actually happened on September the 29th. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but it was called the Feast of the Archangels or the Feast of All the Angels. And it was known as celebration as Michaelmas. And it's not celebrated anymore, at least not significantly. But that happened roughly on September the 29th. Now, here's what's interesting is that the pregnancy period, the 40 weeks is 280 days. Well, 280 days from December the 25th is September 29th. And the reality is that Jesus was not born on December the 25th. He was born probably, and the way the Jewish calendar works is there's some back and forth, but he was probably born the end of September, the 1st of October. And there's a good chance that December the 25th is significant because that was probably the day that he was conceived. 280 days later, here we are, we're right in Sukkot, which That was the whole thing. God with us. Mm-hmm. That he was going to dwell with us. He was going to Sukkot with us. He was going to tabernacle with us. So he was probably born during tabernacle. And that would have put him right around the end of September, 1st of October, our calendar. There was a famous Bible scholar, his name is E.W. Bullinger. He said this, the 25th of December is associated with our Lord and was set apart by the apostolic church. We're talking about the early church. It was set apart by the apostolic church to commemorate the stupendous event of the Word becoming flesh and not, as we have for so long been led to suppose, the commemoration of a pagan festival. And a lot of people get all mixed up.
Yeah.
And look, there's no reason to get mixed up over this. Jesus was not born on December the 25th. That's fine. But we have set aside a time of year and a season to celebrate the reason why he was born. You know, this isn't just about the birthday. Because, like I said, historically, the Jews didn't put a whole lot of weight on just the day you were born. They were anticipating anticipating your arrival, but then anticipating the reality of the purpose of your arrival. Hallelujah. Yes, we were anticipating the day that Jesus would be, through natural means, birthed into the earth. But you know what overshadows the birthday? The reason that he came. Mm-hmm. Now, I love it when people celebrate my birthday, as we remember the day on the calendar that I came out of my mother's womb and into the earth. But you know what really should far outweigh that? Is Justin here with purpose? Is he exhibiting the reason and walking in the reason why? Hallelujah, that the Heavenly Father ordained that I would be in the earth at this time. That should be all of our consideration. Let's see here.
Well, that reason that surrounds your birth was love.
Hallelujah.
It was the love of your parents for each other, and an expression of that love was you.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Father loves us. He sent his son.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Let me see here. The connection to the reality that, you know, December 25th, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's pagan. That's what I'm saying. We got to be watchful here, not to give the devil too much credit. Whenever God has done something significant, you can guarantee that the devil's going to try and come in and muddy the waters. He's going to try and detract, distract. Mm-hmm. He's going to try and take the credit and the glory. And again, historically, we know that the apostolic church, the early church, commemorated these days on December 25th. They were celebrating his conception. And it's not the commemoration of a pagan festival. The connection, if any, would be inconsequential. For example, any connection, if any, that Christmas has to Sol Invictus or Saturnalia, Mithraism, Constantine, or the Roman Catholics is the hyperization of his birth over his purpose. Mm-hmm. It would be the marketing. And we can see here that, you know, even in the United States, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I'm saying that the commercialization of birthdays is a big deal.
Yes.
I'm talking about tons of money is spent.
Yes.
On things to celebrate someone's birth, which is great. Praise God. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. What I'm saying is we got to understand that the reason and the purpose of one coming should be what overshadows simply just the memorial of the day that they entered. And a lot of people are not even challenged to live with purpose. Yeah. We just celebrate, you know, they feel alone and lost all year, and then all of a sudden somebody blows a little kudzu or whatever, that little rolly out. What's that called when you
do kazoo?
A kazoo. Whatever that is. I don't know what that thing's called. You know, a little popper and a cake and stuff, but yet there's no challenge for them to live on purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, I think somebody would rather prefer maybe a diminished birthday and just have such overwhelming championing that their life would leave a mark and an impact rather than, you know, some chintzy cupcake once a year. And I'm all for birthdays. Don't misunderstand me. But
well, it's kind of like people's focus on weddings. Weddings are wonderful, but they get so focused on the wedding they don't think about the marriage. It can set you up for problems. It's the same thing. You know, everything isn't about just that you were born. What's your purpose? Why are you here? I remember at one point the Lord just kind of talking to me about what my family's purpose was.
Oh, that's
that,
good.
That was cool. I mean, that really, I think that got me on the path to being here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We were already in the church, but it got me on the path to serving him more, like more in my true calling.
That's so, yeah.
It's not about me. I'm just saying. I realize, oh, hey, I'm not just here to be a mom and a wife. Those things are wonderful.
Right.
But I'm
right.
here as a daughter of the King. That's where things shifted. Yeah.
As a believer, we should believe, or at least have some sort of paradigm that would be similar to how I'm going to phrase it. But as a believer, you are not just simply existing. You are here on purpose with a purpose. And that is revealed to us in several places throughout the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, it says that God has prepared things for us. And one translation says that he's prepared them ahead of time that we should walk in them. David in Psalms had this revelation that all the days of his life were written out in a book. I want to see this book. I mean, I receive it by faith, but I mean, when we get there, I want to see how God does this. I want to see the book. I want to see the filing cabinets, as it were, that has the days of my life written out in them. And David said that all the days of his life were written out in the book before he's even lived one of them. The Hebrew word is the word derek, and it is God's path. It's his plan. It's his foreplanning. It's his provision. It's his being able to go to the end of a thing and establish it, and then come back to the beginning, grab your hand, and lead you along the path with the intention of arriving at the destination. See, he goes to the end and establishes your end, and then brings you to the beginning. He's already in the ending. And so David saw that. It's like all these days have been written out, and it's a revelation. Remember what the scripture says, that his word is what? A light unto our path. Mm-hmm. And so it's a journey of revelation. Praise God. And it's about purpose. It's about the end purpose. It's not just about the beginning. It is about the end. And I think that's one reason why historically, now don't misunderstand, somebody's going to be like, oh no, you mean I can't celebrate birth? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But we've made such a big thing over the beginning of a thing, and praise God for that. Don't despise small beginnings, but I'm telling you, God is about destination. God is about getting you down the road. He's about the whole purpose of a thing. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus, so much more than just a birthday. And so I'm saying all this to not get caught up in the arguments. But also, let's not shrink this season down to just this little thing. I mean, this is huge. As we celebrate his birth, as we celebrate what he came into the earth. But I think in a way, we're not celebrating it in September or October as another reminder that it's not just about the day he was born. So much arguing and all this kind of stuff, and people are getting mad because December 25th is there because of, you know, of the Roman Catholics. Well, actually, no, it's not. But, you know, they may have come on at some point and helped popularize it. But beyond all that, beyond the argument of is December the 25th the appropriate day to do what we do, it's not about that. It's about the purpose. And whatever day you celebrate that, have Christmas every day.
Yeah.
Right? Have Christmas every day.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a turkey leg, then God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, so the celebrating of mythical gods and their birthdays, even those on December 25th, I named off some. Saturnella, Mithraism, you know, what about Constantine, the Roman Catholics, whatever, Saul Invictus, whatever, it doesn't matter. The celebrating of mythical gods and their birthdays, even those on December 25th, was around long before Jesus was conceived. The error, if any, by Constantine or any other Catholic or misinterpret historical fact is simply the error of popularizing the birth along with all the others. What can get lost is the significance of the Savior coming and humbling himself as a baby to be completely dependent upon mankind to feed him, teach him to walk, teach him to talk, etc., than to take his place at the Father's instructions on the cross and carry our sin. Listen, our lives are eternal. What will remain in discussion thousands of years from now is not what date Jesus came, but why he came and how thankful we are that he destroyed sin. So listen, let's celebrate.
Yes.
It is still to this day one of the most powerful opportunities to bring people to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, Bob, Christina, if we're eternal beings, you know, and time will mean nothing at some point, but let me quantify it here just for the sake of our conversation. 1 million years from now, do you think it's going to be a big deal that October 7th or whatever our birthdays are? You understand what I mean? Like, yeah. You know what's going to overshadow that? The fact that you were in the heart of the Father.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he had a plan.
Yeah.
And it was so grand, so amazing. He knew you were going to be eternal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the day that you were put in, I actually think that he probably thinks more in terms of seasons. I mean, if you look at the scripture, when we talk about seed time harvest, when he told Noah the seasons, that was one thing he said. He said these seasons, and I'm not just talking about winter, fall, but the spiritual reality of seasons. You know, if you look at the scripture, it doesn't go so much by day per se as it does about seasons, times and seasons. Okay. Definitely the day that we were born is significant. That's the entry point. But I think he put us into a season more than he just picked a day, right? Like we're in, look at what's going on in the world now. Look at the time as far as his calendar goes. A day is as 1,000 years, right? Look at the day you were born. We're like in the sixth day, right, of the Bible timeline. Mm-hmm. So am I making sense? I'm probably not making sense. But I think if we look at the bigger picture, he put us in here. There's a greater reason why we were born. Yeah, celebrate birthdays, fine. But what's going to overshadow that is, hey, I put you in here at this critical moment. You were created for this work.
Yes.
And I think when we look back in history, we're going to celebrate, wow, the work we were involved in, our purpose that we were involved in, the body that he was building and bringing into stature rather than just the day. And I think that goes to Christ too. Yeah, you don't want to celebrate December 25th? Fine, whatever. You do? Awesome, great. But I know together we can celebrate the reason that Jesus came. Guys, you got any closing thoughts here on just the season, the holiday, Christ?
Just towards the season and where we are in our country's history. You know, I think a couple people have talked to or spoken to like Esther moment. I think that,
exactly.
That we're kind of sitting in an Esther moment and you've heard the phrase or the term terrible, wonderful times. I mean, it's like a lot of people are like, can we just finish? No, we need to do what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to contend. We're supposed to stand for the Lord mm-hmm. and for the right things, biblical views. And instead of looking at how terrible everything is right now, mm-hmm. first of all, we need to be thankful for what we have. And second of all, we need to find our place in it. I think that's where I'm at.
Good.
What's my place right now? What do I need to be doing?
Were you born for?
Right. I'm not a politician. What's my place in this right now? Well, yeah. I would say number one would be prayer. Prayer and staying in love. Hard to stay in love right now. But, you know, what's your place right now?
That's good.
And I think one of the things the Lord kind of, when I got up this morning, he was talking to me about being filled. You know, the scripture talks about be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what he's speaking to me right now is just stay in that flow. Just stay filled, stay in love. And as I bump into people, I'm going to bump into people that are going to be in bad moods the next couple of days, and I know it.
Yeah.
Because this might be the hardest time of their year. Well, you know what I'm saying? The holidays can be stressful for people. A lot of times they're not thankful for what they have. They're thankful for what they've lost. And so that's just where the Lord's had me today is, that's good. Don't focus on what you've lost this year. Focus on what you have and how good God is. And so that's kind of that's just where I was today, you know, is, and the devil's a liar and he likes to convince you that everything's gone wrong. And that's a lie. That's a lie. Things are usually way better than it looks.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'd encourage you guys out there. Things aren't as bad as they look, you know, get in faith.
Hallelujah.
And come on out of it.
I receive that.
Well, you know, you had mentioned about seasons. God looks at seasons. And I just want to urge everyone to realize that you are a season for somebody else. This is a season in their life where you exist, where you can speak into their life. Amen. They'll never get it from anyone else. They might, but it might have a different flavor to it. God has a plan and a purpose for you. So you are a season in this person's life. I look at our great-granddaughter, you know, and we're not around her a lot, but I realize this is a season where I can be and represent something to her. And that, of course, she's very young. She'll probably forget me later on. I mean, at that age, your memories just kind of fade. But I believe that the season that I have in her mother and in her grandmother, that they will continue that to where she'll think, wow, I faintly do remember him, and he did this for me. So you are a season in somebody else's life, just like Jesus is a season in all of our lives.
Wow, Bob.
What, sorry.
Yeah, both of you guys, way to end the podcast. Well, hallelujah. We just, we love y'all. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, we bless you in the name of Jesus.
Yes, we do.
And we look forward to what the new year holds. Of course, you know, I think we've got it. You know, what is the date? We got one more podcast, I think, at least one before the end of the year. So this isn't it for 2020, but we're just kind of bringing it down to a good ending. It's going to be a good ending. It's going to be a great, great Christmas. We've been saying here around our ministry, best one yet.
Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's close with a song. Guys, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. You guys are tremendous. So, hey, you know what? Go celebrate.
Yes.
Celebrate, yes. Celebrate, celebrate.
Yeah.
Give. Hallelujah. And receive. Listen, somebody wants to get you something this year, let me help you out. Just say thank you.
Yes.
Just say thank you.
Yes.
Just receive it. You know, you don't know the thought. You don't know the sacrifice that went in to that. Just receive it. Hallelujah. And take opportunity if you can. This is still one of the greatest evangelistic opportunities of the year.
Yeah.
To point people back to Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Can you hear that song in the background? Oh, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast today. This has been Bob, Christina, and Justin. Wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And hey, we want you to know Jesus loves you.
Yes, yes, he does.
And if you're listening and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I recognize I am lost without you. I need you. I'm hopeless. I'm lost. I'm broken. But I look to you, Jesus. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Be my substitute. I give you my life. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I need my sins taken care of. I need that price paid for me. I receive you now into my heart. Help me, Holy Ghost, to yield to my Lord and to my Savior. I give you my life. Take it and do something wonderful with it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. He's the best gift, friend, that you could ever receive. The greatest gift that we've ever received. Hallelujah. Hey, if you need somebody to celebrate with you or agree with you in prayer, send us an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv, or call us 870-741-9099. That's 870-741-9099. Call us, leave a message. We'd love to get back with you. Love to stand with you. It would be our honor. And until next time, friends, be blessed.
When I'm feeling blue and when I'm feeling low, then I start to think about the happiest man I know. He doesn't mind the snow and he doesn't mind the rain, but all December you will hear him at your window pane, a-singing again and again and again and again and again and again. Christmas is a-coming and the bells begin to ring, the holly's in the window and the birds begin to sing. Now don't take time to worry and don't take time to fret, and the more you give at Christmas time, the more you'll get. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you, and the more you give at Christmas time, the more you'll get. Christmas is a-coming and the egg is in the nog, please to give a friendly man a friendly little dog. If you haven't got a friendly dog, a friendly cat'll do. If you haven't got a friendly cat, may God bless you. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a friendly cat, may God bless you. Christmas is a-coming and the lights are on the tree. How about a turkey leg for poor old me? If you haven't got a turkey leg, a turkey wing'll do. If you haven't got a turkey wing, may God bless you. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a turkey wing, may God bless you.